Data doctors report to the studio. You're live in 2 minutes.
This is the Data Doctor's 2 Minute Drill.
Everyone's crying and moaning. The Google privacy settings have changed.
You have no privacy. Google wants you to have no privacy, right?
Ken, I don't understand why people's panties are in a bind about this. Google already knows everything about you. Everything.
I can tell you in two words why everybody's all up in a bind.
Why?
The media.
Okay, so what's different today that wasn't different last week?
It's a lot of headlines and salacious stuff on social media that nobody's really looking into details to really understand.
Look, folks, if you use Google, if you use any of their products, that would be YouTube, Picasa, Google Search.
Gmail. Yeah.
They know where you are. They know what you've been doing.
But that's not new. They
know, right. So why is everyone up in a bind?
All they did was they took the individual privacy policies that represented each one of those products and combined them all into one major privacy policy so that everything you do can be tracked across all their systems so that they can sell advertising. Folks, Google stock is up over $600 a share because they know how to target advertising. You are the product. Either disconnect from it or get over it. It ain't that big of a deal.
This to me is just like the other, the Facebook privacy settings.
Yes.
Everyone complains and pisses and moans about it. But the truth of the matter is, you're not going to stop using the crack.
Not only that, you can completely control what Google tracks and doesn't track if you just take the time to look at the privacy policy tools that they have for you. Yes, they have tools just for you.
They do not have tools
they
for that.
They do.
They have all of your info.
They gotcha.
The 2 Minute Drill. Stand by.
Cue intro music in 5 seconds.
4, 3, 2.
Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program. Delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
Yeah, buddy, it's that time to listen, laugh, and learn once again on the Data Doctors radio program.
Each and every week, we help thousands of people in our stores all across the country. And then on the weekends, we bring that experience to you right here on the radio.
It's the Techno Brothers, Ken and Ken. Well, Ken and Spanky. Oh, it's Ken and Ken. And we're here to provide you with some education and entertainment. Probably more on the entertainment side, but we like to call it
edutainment. Yeah. Hey, first there was the wheel, then came electricity. And soon, Windows 8.
And we tell you this all the time. Back that app up. So what's the best way to back up?
And Google sharing every click, every search, everything in your web history. Can you stop them?
Data Doctors radio program.
Oh, Ken. This loyal Mac user.
Yeah? Did you see a little glimpse of the future that might change your perspective?
My eyes have seen the glory. Windows 8 is phenomenal.
But we said that before.
I know. I have been playing with it.
How could you play with it?
Well, I have a copy of Windows 8 running on my Mac.
See, how's that work?
It's pretty good. Windows.
Little virtualization there?
Yeah, I use VMware on the Mac. For those of you who don't know what that is, Google search it and you can find out. Windows 8 is, to me, a game-changing platform for Microsoft.
It's the first thing that I've seen, and it's going to be hard to connect the dots here, but it's the first thing that I've seen that could actually challenge Apple's dynasty in the tablet market.
Oh, I think it's going to kill Apple's dynasty.
I don't know if it's going to kill it, but it is definitely poised to make a dent, or at least to give people a very viable alternative that doesn't exist now, primarily because what they're going to do now is that all of the devices you touch that are quote-unquote computing devices, your smartphone, your tablet, your home PC, your work PC, your laptop, all that, will have this exact same kind of tiling interface, and everything will kind of live in the cloud in their world, in the Microsoft world, so that as soon as you log into your account on any device, even if it's not yours, it's like your whole world is following you around.
Right. It's universal access across every device. And Apple has been getting closer and closer to that with iOS and the cloud and Lion.
Yeah, but when you use a Mac laptop and then you pop over to an iPad, it's a completely different interface.
For now, their new iteration, Mountain Lion, which is coming out, is going to bring the Mac world a step closer to that. I think Windows, Microsoft may have gotten the jump on them on this one.
Well, they're starting from there and working back. Another thing, and if you ever find somebody that's got a Windows Phone 7, that's the current iteration of their smartphone, have them show you how the contacts work on that platform. It's a subtle thing that's actually very, very game-changing, as Spanky likes to say. With an Android device or an iPhone, you go look somebody up in your contacts, and you have their, you know, name, address, whatever. But then your Facebook stuff, you got to go over to Facebook to see them in Facebook. Twitter, you got to go over to Twitter. With the Windows Phone 7, you bring a person up, and every way that you can connect with them just automatically appears around them.
And that's how Windows 8 functions. So Windows 8, very graphically friendly, very user-friendly. And if you're used to Windows XP, Vista, 7, and see, even the Mac guy knows these things. If you're used to those, this is going to be a very difficult transition for some people.
No.
I think it's going to be. They're going from an operating system that is very menu-driven to a very visual operating system.
I think the thing that you may not understand, or maybe you missed, the desktop experience that everybody's used to right now still lives in Windows 8. It's exactly the same. It's going to look the same. It's going to function the same. So what they've done is they've created a different overlay, right?
The Metro overlay.
Right. It's the tiling that gets you to these things, right? And instead of having to actually go to your weather device or weather app to see what the weather is, instead of having to go to Outlook to see what your schedule is, all of that stuff shows up in these tiles that represent these updates. Websites, anything like that, just show up on these little tiles. And it's just, I think it's going to be much more intuitive. You know, the whole thing of a brand new computer user getting a Mac, they tend to figure things out a little quicker.
Right.
That's really what I think they're going after, is that usability.
Okay, so, but here's where I'm going to disagree with you, Ken, because every time Facebook makes a change, and there's, you know, the timeline, when timeline came out, everyone started screaming, we hate this, we hate this, we hate this. And you and I love timeline. Brandon loves timeline. There is pain that comes along with this change. And while the change, I think, is far better, it makes the operating system... I mean, look, if I had a Windows standard, you know, laptop or desktop PC, I would switch to Windows 8 like that, because it is so cool, so easy to use. I mean, imagine when you turn on your computer now, you see you have 15 emails. I see a message from Ken on Facebook. It's all there.
Well, you kind of have that now, depending upon what you have set up and how you go about doing things. It's just that the operating system will be that much more structured, so that you don't have to think about this. You don't have to set this stuff up. And again, I think once people see that, okay, this is just how I start, but I click over and I'm right up back to my desktop that I'm used to seeing, and my Word documents and Excel and all that stuff. So, you know, I see this as probably the least difficult transition of all the Windows operating systems that I've ever dealt with. And I mean, I go back to Windows 1.0, Bubba.
Okay, so if you're Joe Consumer listening to this radio program right now.
Yes.
The consumer preview.
Yes.
Is available for people to download.
Not for people listening.
Okay, so who would want to use the consumer preview besides me and you and people in our company?
Go look at the videos, right? But don't take the time to install this. This is beta. This is unfinished. This is still baking.
Yeah.
Software.
Kind of like Siri?
Yeah. Yeah, kind of.
I'm sorry. I can't process that right now.
Yes. We'll get back to you. If you get the urge to do this, I mean, if you're going to do this and you're a nerd and you're techie and you're great, go for it. Do it on a machine that you don't care about. Don't do it on your primary machine, because you don't need those obstructions keeping you from doing your work.
And this is where I think Windows 8 is going to win over Macintosh Mountain Lion. And here's what it is.
Give it to me.
Every time Apple does an upgrade, an older generation PowerPC falls off the grid. You can't use the software on that. With Mountain Lion, an older generation of Intel processor falls off the map. With Windows 8, it doesn't matter if you're still running XP on an older box. It doesn't matter if you're running 7, Vista. It will work on every Windows running machine now.
Yeah, because it's just a facade. It's just a real simple little menu program that they're creating.
I applaud Microsoft.
Interesting way to go about things.
They're bringing sexy back.
You think so?
I think so.
All right.
Hey, coming up, don't just start over, just back up. We'll talk about a good backup solution for you.
Also, an app takes center stage this week because Spanky is smitten, and it's apparently pretty awesome.
It's coming up right here on the Data Doctors radio program. Sit tight. the tax man cometh, and lots of us fire up the PC to start punching in the numbers. Stop!
Yes, before you start putting all that personal information, your social security number, your address, all that good stuff on there, your bank's routing information, you need to make sure that your computer's not infected.
Tax time is like Christmas for hackers. Your infected PC could give them everything they need to steal your identity and your dough.
Here's the deal. If your computer is taking forever to start up, takes forever to shut down, is slow as molasses, these are all indications that something is in there that shouldn't be. And you want to make sure it's not malicious software that can figure out what you're doing when you're doing your taxes.
That's why Data Doctors does a free tax time PC checkup. In just a couple of minutes, we'll be able to determine if your computer needs special medical attention, and then we'll get it healthy again.
Don't even think about doing your taxes on your PC until you've had your computer checked by Data Doctors.
DataDoctors.com. Click the Find a Location button for the store nearest you.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
You know, Ken, even without Brandon here, we're still pointing fingers at each other.
I know. It's lovely, isn't it?
We got to have a video camera. People would love to see what goes on during commercial break.
Nah.
Hey, ever start reading a long document online and you forget where you were when you come back to it later? If you use Google Chrome, you can never lose your place again. You Are Here will help you keep track of where you were. It's kind of like a highlighter for web pages. Check it out, datadoctors.com/radio.
Hey, our whole point of being on the air every week is to try to give you insight and knowledge and help on virtually anything tech.
And we like to hear our own voices.
And we do like to hear our own voices. Where we are during the week for you is Facebook. Anytime you have a question, you can just pop on over to our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/datadoctors and ask a question. And one of the many data doctors around the country will try to jump in and give you a hand. Like Jim. Jim, what did Jim want?
Jim wanted to know if we had a favorite backup data storage solution. He's been using Carbonite for a few years, but he recently noticed that Avast offers a similar product.
Avast, matey!
Arr. Since he uses Avast antivirus and he's happy with it, he wants to know if their backup service is good as well. What are our thoughts, pros, cons, whatever?
Arr, good question.
You know, I think for me, I think the question is, are you backing up? Yes? Great.
that's first, right?
You know?
That's first.
Terrific. Because a lot of people don't.
Well, let's just make sure everybody understands there's no such thing as a one-size-fits-all backup. There isn't a backup system that everybody should be using.
Yeah, it depends what you're backing up, too.
Well, and how and where, and there's redundancy and those kinds of
bandwidth,
things.
Bandwidth, all these things.
And we'll spend some extensive time on that in future shows. We're actually putting together a pretty extensive, full-on, exploring every kind of backup system there is show for down the road.
Is it like an investigative special?
It is.
The best backup for your buck.
Arr.
Avast.
So when it comes to this situation, Jim, if you've been using Carbonite, Carbonite's definitely one of the leaders in online backup. So one of the downsides to online backup is you have to have an internet connection and you have to push everything up to the internet. So the first time you do it, it can take weeks depending upon how fast your internet connection is and how much stuff you have. So switching from one online backup to another is going to be fairly painful because you got to start all over again. The other thing is Avast is just now getting into this. If they decide, you know what, it just wasn't worth it. We've seen this time and time again. Lots of people getting into online backup and realize, you know what, there's nothing in it for us, and they stop doing it. And they give you like 30 days to figure it to go find somebody else.
Yeah, when they pull the plug, it's very painful.
Well, it's not that. I mean, you're forced to go somewhere else. So I'm of the opinion, and we use Carbonite for our quality care customers. We like the Carbonite service. We integrate it into a lot of our offerings. And because they're one of the bigger, and you know, there's no guarantee that any of them are going to be around for any length of time. But in this case, it sounds like you're fixing something that ain't broken. I don't know what you're going to gain by switching over. And frankly, depending upon which Avast program you have, you know, you're probably over time going to change that antivirus program because that's just a natural progression for most people. So I wouldn't use it just because it's your antivirus company's offering. And because you didn't identify an actual problem that you're solving. So, Jim, the question is, should I switch? No, just leave it alone. If it ain't broke, fix it till it is. Don't take that approach.
Thanks, Jim, for your question. Hey, Ken, you know Facebook users?
Yes.
Average 7 hours a day on Facebook.
That is nuts.
Pinterest.
Wait a minute. 7 hours?
7 hours
no
a day.
No wonder nothing's getting done around here.
Well, isn't that part of our job?
No.
Okay. Pinterest, 89 minutes.
Yes.
So Google Plus.
Yeah.
How much?
Depending upon who.
No. How many minutes a day are people using Google Plus?
Which people?
Well, you can find out.
Give me the number.
I'm not going to give you the number.
Okay.
Go to datadoctors.com/radio to find out.
All right, let's deal with this change, this massive change in Google's privacy settings.
Oh, pandemonium in the streets over this one.
March 1st.
Yep.
When was that? Last
couple of
Thursday.
Thursday.
Midnight Wednesday. They flipped the switch, and now what was private is now public.
So my junk is out there for everyone to see.
No!
What do you mean? Everybody, the news media says everything that I've ever done on Google is now visible to everyone. That's not true?
Not even close.
So is this kind of like one of those Facebook issues where they say, oh, your stuff is public. Everyone
can
see
it. So if you were using Picasa.
The web gallery people.
Right. It had its own privacy policy. If you use Gmail, it had its own privacy policy.
Right.
If you use Google Chrome, it has its
own privacy policy.
Okay. So they said, you know, this is nuts, having all these different privacy policies. We're going to pull them all together into one major privacy policy for all Google products and make sure you understand that instead of us having a little bit of information over here and a little bit of information over there, we can now pull all this stuff together so that when we provide advertisers access to users, which is what Google's all about.
Sure.
There's folks. Google stock trades at $620 the last time I checked.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
$620 a share.
How much money have I spent in Google to make their stock that valuable?
In dollars? Nothing. Personal information?
Yeah.
Everything. That's always been the game.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the settings, the control settings, Ken, because
you mean the ones that nobody knows about?
That nobody knows about. So do you know that you can find out everything that Google knows about you?
Yeah, they have a privacy dashboard.
And how do they get to that?
You go to the privacy tools link. That's at datadoctors.com/radio. You're going to learn that there's this whole other world that allows you to completely pinpoint control what Google tracks and what Google doesn't track.
And when we say pinpoint control, let me dive into that a little bit. You know, if you use Google Chat, if you use Google Voice, if you use any of the Google products and services, each one of them has their own individual, unique control. So, for example, I can have a Google Chat history saved, or if I don't want them to save my Google Chat history, I can turn that off. If I don't want them to save all of my messages that have gone back and forth between me and other people, and you can turn all of those things off. But I wouldn't be as concerned about what you searched for on the web being public. Google already knows what you searched.
But it's not public.
It's not public, but people have this misconception. I had this conversation with my dad the other day, and he's like, well, I don't want people seeing my web search history. I'm like, Dad, you don't understand. No one is going to see this. This is how Google spoon feeds you advertising.
And that's how they make $600 a share, is that they're very clearly being able to target people based on their behaviors and what have you. So, and it's not like it's anything new. There's nothing new here. There's nothing here, folks.
But you know what? The freak out continues. And as long as the news media continues to make it seem like it's the end of the world and all your information.
The best thing that's come out of this is finally people pay attention to the fact that you can control your privacy settings across all of the Google stuff now in one place instead of this 70 places.
Hey, when we come back, what's the right laptop for you? Is a laptop the right answer?
But first, it's the coolest camera app we've come across in a long time, and Spanky can't quit talking about it.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, if you own a television from Samsung, you may be part of a class action lawsuit. If you're experiencing problems With the turning on and off, or you have quirky issues, you may have blown caps and you're not alone. So check out the details. You may get some money. DataDoctors.com/radio.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors Radio Program.
You know, very, very seldom on this program.
Yes.
Do we dedicate a large portion of the program to an app?
Never, actually.
No, never in the history. But today we're going to do that.
Because?
Because this app is awesome. It's called Camera Awesome, and it was developed by the guys at Smug Mug. Now, for those of you who are into photography, like moi, when you take photos on your device, and by the way, this is an iPhone right now device, iDevice, iPhone, iPad, iPod, things like that. They are in development on their Android product.
All right.
And so Smug Mug is a photo hosting site. It's a great place for backup. They have a consumer version. They have a free version. They have a middle-of-the-road version, so if you want to pay for storage. And then they have the pro version, and that's the one that I use, and I love it. They created this app called Camera Awesome. And let me tell you, this is the first photo app that I've seen for an iDevice that I am giddy about.
Okay, so we can take pictures. We have Instagrams. We have all these different things. So why is this thing so great? Why is this so awesome?
So let's start with a couple of things that if you're into photography, again, I'm talking to the people like me who are really into taking pictures.
Okay.
And if you like to take pictures with your smartphone because they have such good cameras, the first thing you'll notice when you open it up is that when you push to focus on something, there's a dot and there's a square. If you separate those two out, one is your focal point, the other is your lighting. So you can individually control your light from your focal point, which you've up until now have not been able to do.
Make a choice.
Right. It gives you grids for rules of third. If you want to see a grid so you kind of know where to line up your subject.
I don't need that. I'm good without it.
You're pretty good. It also has what are called in-app purchases, which generally we tell you, whoa, 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 turn those off. The in-app purchases are plugins that allow you to post-process your photos using post-processing from guys like Kevin Kubota. Kevin Kubota, by the way, for those of you who don't know who he is.
I don't know who he is.
In the photo world, he's a pretty big deal. He has created hundreds of Lightroom plugins and Photoshop plugins for photographers.
I bet he's big in Japan.
That I'm dumped. Try the veal. Tip your server. Two shows nightly. Anyway.
Meatloaf.
Thank you. This app is a totally different way to take pictures. And when you're done with them, it has one-click sharing for any platform that you're connected
to. Okay, hold on, hold on. Right now, I take a picture.
Yes.
And I want to post it to Facebook and Twitter.
Right.
I have to post it to Facebook.
Right.
And then I have to go to Twitter and post it to Twitter. Or I have to use some egregious third-party program that I've got to... You're saying right from the photo app.
Right from the photo app. Ken, as I hold it in front of you, you can actually...
You're holding it too close.
I'm sorry. Let me go farther. Hold on. Can you see it now?
That's better.
In the app itself...
I see...
You set up...
Smug Mug first.
You see Smug Mug first, yes.
Facebook, Twitter, Flickr, Picasa, Photo Bucket, email, and short messaging.
That's correct. Text. And so all you have to do is literally click on those one. You just push them with your finger. And it will automatically...
I want to spam the world
with
this picture.
You want to spam the world. And it will do it in one click.
My sunset sunrise pictures are now going to be everywhere.
God, shoot me!
You blew it!
Anyway, if you are into photography, this is an app for you. The Kubota plugins come in packs. And for 99 cents, you can buy a bunch of different plugins.
I don't know what that means. Kubota plugin.
Okay, so...
It sounds like a really bad movie.
They are... To adjust your photo, to add filters, effects, grain.
So it's the stuff that you see on Instagrams and whatever.
Right, but it's to a different level. Instagram has like 10 presets.
Yeah.
You can truly customize a photo with this app.
Oh, but that you got to know what you're doing with those plugins.
No, you don't.
No?
It's a plug and go. Plus, it has frames that you can put around the pictures. It has all sorts of tools that are available in lots of different apps in one app. And it's very snappy. It's very peppy.
I did see a couple of other things that I thought were interesting. I didn't get to try them. I don't know if you have them or not.
Fire away.
But the bursting, where you can actually time the thing for what, every 5 seconds or whatever, you can actually set your iPhone up, start the process, and it's just going to start taking pictures on a burst level, either fast or slow.
Correct.
Like if you want to do time lapse, you could do time lapse. You want to do fast motion.
It has image stabilization built in.
Does
so
it have
that,
verbal stabilization?
So there's slow burst and fast burst. And the fast burst gives you a lower res picture. So right now, if I want to fast burst you, I'm going to do that right now while we're doing the radio program. And so I can just go click, 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 click.
And
it will fast burst a bunch of pictures in a row.
So give me a practical use for that. When would I use that?
So if you're at your son's baseball game, you're at your kid's sporting event, and you don't have a good DSLR camera, and you want to take pictures of him when he's at bat, or pictures of him when he goes to the rim.
But you want the actual picture when the bat is hitting the ball.
Correct. That's when you use burst mode, because the picture, basically, if you remember in the old camera world, you heard that.
Yeah.
That's the frame, the shutter opening and closing. The burst mode is in sequence. So your camera's actually catching motion as it occurs.
But it's not video where it's low res. It's actually
high res still images. Pretty radical.
All right. How much?
Free.
What?
It's free.
It's that awesome?
It's that awesome. It is a free app. And the way they make their money on this, number one, they assume that you're a photo enthusiast and that you're going to want to buy the expanded storage service.
Okay.
If you do that, terrific. The other way they make their money is these in-app purchases of these plug-in packs. And they're only 99 cents a piece for each plug-in pack. They've probably got 30 or 40 of them, so they can make some serious dough.
Interesting.
It's pretty bad.
All right, so coming up, now that you know this killer photo app, you know what the best way is to sync all those photos?
Plus, you need money for a project. Don't call Western Union and bug your family. We've got a better way.
Coming up here on the Data Doctors radio program. Stay tuned.
The tax man cometh, and lots of us fire up the PC to start punching in the numbers. Stop!
Yes, before you start putting all that personal information, your social security number, your address, all that good stuff on there, your bank's routing information, you need to make sure that your computer's not infected.
Tax time is like Christmas for hackers. Your infected PC could give them everything they need to steal your identity and your dough.
Here's the deal. If your computer is taking forever to start up, takes forever to shut down, is slow as molasses, these are all indications that something is in there that shouldn't be. And you want to make sure it's not malicious software that can figure out what you're doing when you're doing your taxes.
That's why Data Doctors does a free tax time PC checkup. In just a couple of minutes, we'll be able to determine if your computer needs special medical attention, and then we'll get it healthy again.
Don't even think about doing your taxes on your PC until you've had your computer checked by Data Doctors.
DataDoctors.com. Click the Find a Location button for the store nearest you.
The Data Doctors radio program.
I don't know why this song reminds me of Jane's Addiction, the theme from Entourage. It's kind of got the same...
Very similar.
Yeah. Hey, from the shocking and totally didn't see that one coming file... Using Facebook while studying does this for your grades. Want the answer? DataDoctors.com/radio.
Tech knowledge for your technology. Data Doctors radio program.
It's like you're doing a game show now, huh?
Well, I'm just having a little fun with it, mixing it up a little bit this week.
I'll take Facebook on grades for 200.
Can you guess?
Hey, don't forget, 365 days of the year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
This year.
366, 24/7. You can ask your questions about your technology anytime you want on our Facebook page, facebook.com/datadoctors, kind of like Tina did.
Yeah, Tina wants to know, she's interested in buying a laptop, but she's not sure what to look for. They're going to use it primarily for surfing the internet, doing schoolwork, reports, and so on. Do we have any suggestions?
So, yeah, very common situation. Good thing that you started with what you actually want to use it for.
Versus...
what's the price?
Right.
Yeah, right.
I have $400 to spend.
Give you a little tip, folks. When you're out there shopping for a computer, you walk into one of these big box stores, into the big box store.
That would be a Mart.
And you could say, basically, you're going to walk in and you're saying, I'm looking for a laptop. I'm looking to spend X dollars. You don't go into what you care. So they're going to go right for that. Okay, well, let's just go ahead and max out your deal. And you told me... You told me you were willing to spend $600, so I'm going to try to push you to $7. They're focused on price, which is what you're focused on, which is the worst way to buy a computer.
Right. You don't buy it based on how much it costs you, based on what you do with it.
Well, no, no. Here's what's going to happen if you buy it based on price. Down the road, you're going to go, you mean if I'd have spent the extra $35, I wish I'd have known that. I'd have spent the extra money. We've all said that a million times, and there's no worse place, no easier place to fall prey to that situation than buying a laptop. Because the whole industry is focused on your lack of understanding and the fact that you're focusing on price because you don't know what else to go with. So here's a couple things that you want to stay focused on. One is always know what you want to do with it and be specific. And if the person you're talking to is not asking you about that, you need to move on. Simple things like web surfing, email, doing reports, those that's all entry-level stuff. There's nothing very sophisticated about the power that you need to be able to do those things. Here's where it starts to become a problem. If you're really going to get into photography and you want to do photo retouching, if you want to get into video of any sort, or if you're into gaming, those three things require significantly more storage, more processing power, and more RAM, which means you're going to spend more money in order to be able to do this. There's nothing worse than getting a quote-unquote great deal on a laptop and then 6 months later going, this thing's a dog.
Yeah.
And you're, and it's not like you can spend a little extra money and make it fast again.
So Tina, in answer to your question, what's the right laptop for you? Based on what you told us on Facebook, you know, any number of the laptops will do. We're big fans of Lenovo. We have Lenovos in our stores, and we sell Lenovo laptops every day.
Well, that's one. Yeah, one. We have Acer. We have Asus. There's a bunch of them that we sell. What you want to do that is some basics. I don't like the AMD processors. Stay away from those. Excuse me.
And so the AMD processors, as we've been telling you for years, sometimes they're a little quirky. They have problems. They run hot. They're
just not as reliable.
Not as reliable.
I was so choked up over that. I just
you got verklempt.
No, stick to an Intel processor. RAM is your best bang for the buck. So having a little bit slower processor, and if you have a little extra money, spend it on more RAM, not on a faster processor. That RAM is going to make a much bigger difference in your performance and how the things work. And there's no such thing as a too big hard drive. I'll never need that much storage.
Yes, you will.
It's like buying a refrigerator and saying, oh, I'll never need this much space.
Yeah.
BS. We all know it doesn't matter how big the fridge is. You always fill it up. Same thing happens with hard drives.
Those are our tips for buying your laptop, Tina, okay? And go forth and shop. Hey, if you like all the tips, tricks, and warnings and other great info we give you, we can deliver it right to your inbox. You want to subscribe to our newsletter? Go to datadoctors.com/radio. Look for the newsletter box. Type in your email address, and we'll send it to you.
Hey, I had an interesting question posed to me from somebody in one of my media friends who is a recent iPhone convert.
Mm-hmm.
Has started taking and has a new child and whatever, lots of pictures and lots of video. And they were like, okay, the iCloud's cool and the photo streams, but wait a minute, that's just for pictures. What about my video? And so the whole issue of we have all this media on our mobile devices, how do you sync that up nowadays? What should you be doing? So we kind of went through some of our favorites, and this by no means are these the only ways to go. But here are some of the fundamental things that you should be thinking about. Let's start with iPhone and iPad devices, okay? Obviously, make sure that you have your iCloud set up so that you can use PhotoStream. And PhotoStream is cool because when you take a picture, it automatically uploads it to Apple's PhotoStream servers and then back down to any and all devices or computers that you've also set up on the stream.
Now, if you have an iDevice...
But hang on.
Go ahead.
I want to make sure you understand what that means. Right now, because I have it set up, I take a picture on my iPhone. If I'm near Wi-Fi, it pushes it up to my photo stream. It then will live on my iPad, my home computer, my office computer. I don't have to do anything. It just shows up.
Automagically.
Yes.
And that's what I was going to jump in and say
you. But it doesn't do video.
No, that's a fail for me.
So you can basically plug your iPhone or your Android device into your computer and tell it to sync, and then it will sync up and pull the videos over. And that's kind of a pain, but now you can do wireless syncing. You can do Wi-Fi syncing for iDevices.
Mm-hmm.
It's native to the system. You just have to set it up, and we have links to that, how to do that. For Android users, there's something called AirDroid. And again, but it's not the only thing out there, but it's probably one of the more popular devices that allows you to sync your Android device through the air, right, wirelessly, to your computer. So you don't have to plug it in to get that stuff uploaded and synced. Now, if you're an Android user and you have a Google Plus account, you can set up the instant sharing, very much similar to the iCloud for iPhone users and the PhotoStream. so that when you take a picture on your Android device, it automatically pushes it up to your private photo library.
But it's on Google. Google private, really?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, no, no. They're tearing your pictures apart as soon as you take them.
They're popping into your pixels.
For sure. Now, the one-size-fits-all syncing device, or syncing program that I think everyone out there should have is another Google product. It's called Picasa, P-I-C-A-S-A, Picasa. That thing is fantastic. Just go get it. Play with it. It's awesome.
And it works with everything.
Yes.
Hey, if you've got a question for the program, you can hit us up anytime, facebook.com/datadoctors.
And remember, we are your source for all things tech. Anytime you want to see what we're talking about, just visit us at datadoctors.com/radio.
If you get stuck with your technology, your hard drive starts clicking, you spill your morning coffee on your laptop, we can help. Head on over to datadoctors.com, find the location nearest you anywhere in the country.
Coming up, we're going to tell you how you can start generating funds for whatever it is that you want to do by asking the crowd. Stay tuned.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Data Doctors, report to the studio. You're live in 2 minutes.
This is the Data Doctors 2 Minute Drill.
Ken, I am switching teams.
That's a little too much information, sir.
No. Have you seen Windows 8?
Yeah.
Holy cow!
Yeah, we've been talking about it for a while.
This loyal Mac user right here could make the switch. Windows 8 is gorgeous.
It's a game changer.
User interface is unlike anything I've ever seen before. What took Microsoft so long to come to the table with this?
Well, actually, if you think about it, Microsoft had to wait until everybody wanted something for all these different devices. Phones, tablets, PCs, laptops. It's going to unify all of that experience. It's a very interesting approach that has some real potential.
Is Windows 8 going to be a dagger in Apple's iOS platform?
I don't know if it's going to be a dagger, but it's certainly the first challenge to the operating system. Everybody keeps focusing in on the hardware. It's the operating system, silly. That's why the iOS devices have done so well.
So imagine turning on your computer and having the user experience that you have, going to your tablet, having the same user experience, going to your phone and having it look the same and feel the same and operate the same.
Home, office, everywhere.
Everywhere you go. And if you log in on your friend's device and you use your name and password, it looks exactly the way you like.
All your stuff is there. The cloud, we keep hearing about it, the cloud in that world will follow you around and make this thing very, very functional.
Mac users like me, if you're a hater, if you're one of those people who hates Windows and hates Microsoft, I would start taking a quick peek at this because this is a radical change.
You know, we'll keep talking about this. We got lots of video coming, so stay tuned on this one. It's coming, Windows 8!
Stand by.
Cue intro music in 5 seconds.
4, 3, 2.
Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
Hola, mi amigos. It is time to listen, laugh, and learn with the Data Doctors radio program.
Yeah, for nearly 24 years, we've been spending our time during the week helping people with their computers, their problems, their technology, their networking, all that good stuff. And on the weekends, we come here to talk to you about your situation.
We are the Data Doctors. Ken across from me, Brandon, MIA today. And me, Spanky, here to provide you education and entertainment. We call it edutainment.
There's always a catch. This we know, but loopholes suck. The latest OS, oops.
Plus, ready to start your career as an independent filmmaker, but you got no dough? We can change that.
And Twitter and Facebook are great tools for business, but now, how about a great tool that helps you Twitter and Facebook?
Data Doctors radio program.
Ken?
Hi.
Your photos. You got an iPhone, right?
I do.
Your photos may be
usurped?
Shared.
Somebody's usurping them?
Little iOS oops.
Yeah?
Wait,
this is the Apple folks that never make a mistake?
Well, yeah,
there are no security problems, there's no issues?
Look the other way, quick! Oh, shiny object! iOS security loophole is letting apps grab user photos. So, if you have any photos on there, you know, let's say you take intimate photos with your iPhone.
Yeah.
Some people do that in the shower. You've seen those pictures.
In the shower?
Well, didn't Miley Cyrus or somebody do something silly like that?
Don't know.
Yeah, people do weird things. They take pictures of that. Hey, it's bizarre.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm a Puritan. I would never do that.
Whatever.
Okay. So those photos could be being shared. So there's a little security feature, a little glitch in the software that allows apps, when you click OK to access your location-based data.
When the app asks you, is it OK to use location information, you say, sure, go ahead.
Right. Well, that gives them all the GPS data. It also allows these apps to possibly grab your photos. Oops.
Yeah, somebody discovered that there's a little back door there. If you say yes to location services, you're potentially saying yes to have all my photos.
Just a slight oversight.
Yeah. What should people do?
So if you have an iDevice and you take photos, which a lot of people do with their iDevice, very, very simple to remedy this without a lot of pain.
Yeah. You want to go into your settings there.
Oh, by the way, they are working on a fix.
Sure.
The Apple just hasn't responded as to when that fix will be out.
They don't talk about these things.
Yeah. So you go into your settings and then go down to your location services. And then all you have to do is turn off location services for those
photo
apps.
For just photo apps. Not all your apps, just the photo apps, which are the ones that potentially can...
And then problem solved.
Usurp this stuff.
Temporarily, until they fix the problem.
Shaving a haircut.
Yeah.
Ding, ding.
What can you do? It happens.
You can press the button.
I can do that if I can find the button.
There it is.
I don't have my partner.
You're on your own on this one.
That's why I'm struggling.
Not going to do it.
Of the week.
Wouldn't be prudent. Hey, every week at this time of the show, we bring you a little nibble of the tech vernacular, we like to call it.
Geek Speak of the Week.
It is the Geek Speak of the Week. We're now going to provide you with a term, a word, something you can use at a cocktail party to sound really...
Geek Speak.
Yeah, more gooder.
Of the Week.
More smarter.
My rhythm is off without Brandon here.
This week's Geek Speak actually has some real functionality for you business owners. It is crowdfunding.
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 The password is
crowdfunding.
Crowdfunding. So what is crowdfunding, Ken?
Well, we've talked in the past about crowdsourcing, right? Where you can go out to the internet and ask a bunch of people to help you with something.
Mm-hmm.
Crowdfunding is the same thing, only it's to raise funds.
Fantastic.
So let's just say you have a charitable organization and you have a specific event, a specific thing that you're trying to raise money for. You can invoke one of the many new crowdfunding sites and say, this is our charity. This is what happens. And in a lot of times, and businesses are doing this now to like raise capital for new functions. I've got a friend, my daughter's first roommate in New York is a filmmaker. He raised $10,000 through a crowdfunding site to do his first series, a web series. And as a result of that, different people, you know, it's like when you watch public television and they say, if you donate at this level, you get this. And you
sponsorship for this program brought to you.
No. But when you do that, you get the two DVD set. If you donate at this level, you get. So the same thing happens depending upon what the product or service is that you're funding. They're saying, if you donate to the cause, here's what you get. And at different levels, trying to encourage you to donate at higher levels. So we're seeing more and more people start to use these crowdfunding sites. It leverages social media and your social networks to say, hey, I've got this thing going on. I mean, you can donate as little as a dollar in these things, right? So if you can get 1 million people to give you a buck and you've got a worthwhile cause or a product, you can raise a lot of money.
We could crowdfund the next president into office, maybe.
Not so much.
Maybe not. So here's one of the things about crowdfunding that I find incredibly inspiring, uplifting. In a time when the economy is starting to recover and it's starting to get back to, you know, the way we like things to run here in the U.S., crowdfunding is really helping boost that. Crowdfunding for those little companies, those little individuals who are trying to make their mark in the world, who don't necessarily have access to traditional capital.
Crowdfunding. Right. And a bank would look at a new idea and go,
we're not getting involved. Too
risky.
Yep. Yeah.
So Kickstarter is one of the bigger ones that's out there, Kickstarter.com. We have a link to a great story. I mean, here's an inventor that invented something that every iPhone user is probably going to want. And I think because it was such an obvious thing that people want, he was able to raise, $1 million to start his manufacturing of this device? This was... This was a the problem that he was solving was if you own an iPhone and you have like a dock, you stick the iPhone in the dock, and then when you go to pull it out, you have to use two hands.
Right.
Right? Because it's just not set up to be a one-handed deal.
Right, because the dock comes up with the phone.
Right, and so if you're rushing around, you don't have two hands. You just want to get the thing off the dock, so you're shaking it, and you're trying to... it's like, it's a big pain. So this guy said, I've got a better way. And he engineered aluminum mill, beautiful prototypes of something that was heavy enough that you could just lift the thing out. And he took care of another problem, which is if you get a protective case, you can no longer use Apple's docking systems.
Yes, you cannot.
And so he created a whole system where you can still leave it in your case, put it in the dock, and it comes out real easily. And people funded this thing, so the people that helped fund it will get one of the first products. It's beautiful.
Now, if only someone could develop an app that when your kids are watching video on your iDevice, the home button is disabled. That would be awesome. Just saying. Hey, still ahead, what was that password? What do you do when you're locked out? Plus, Facebook timeline. Is your business ready for a facelift? It's coming up right here on the Data Doctors radio program. The tax man cometh, and lots of us fire up the PC to start punching in the numbers. Stop!
Yes, before you start putting all that personal information, your social security number, your address, all that good stuff on there, your bank's routing information, you need to make sure that your computer's not infected.
Tax time is like Christmas for hackers. Your infected PC could give them everything they need to steal your identity and your dough.
Here's the deal. If your computer is taking forever to start up, takes forever to shut down, is slow as molasses, these are all indications that something is in there that shouldn't be. And you want to make sure it's not malicious software that can figure out what you're doing when you're doing your taxes.
That's why Data Doctors does a free tax time PC checkup. In just a couple of minutes, we'll be able to determine if your computer needs special medical attention, and then we'll get it healthy again.
Don't even think about doing your taxes on your PC until you've had your computer checked by Data Doctors.
DataDoctors.com. Click the Find a Location button for the store nearest you.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, if you're one of the millions out there looking at technology going, how do you keep up with all this stuff? I got a simple answer for you. It's our free weekly newsletter. We got tips, tricks. Why not learn something new every single week? We'll do that for you. Just go to datadoctors.com/radio and look for the newsletter box. You know the drill. Put in your email address and bada bing, bada boom, you're more educated.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
And anytime you have a question for us or a comment, you know, you can always hit us up, facebook.com/datadoctors. Oh, by the way, I want to shout out to Joshua, Facebook fan who listens to the Data Doctors radio program podcast on iTunes.
Yes.
Because we deliver our show to radio stations all across the country, we have to deliver it a certain way. And he didn't like the way we were processing it on the podcast, and he called me out on it.
We weren't processing it
on
the podcast.
We weren't.
It was just raw.
We were sending it raw. So as of this week, if you're a podcast listener and you don't like those volume ups and downs, thanks to Joshua.
It's going to be fixed.
So I appreciate that
I do too. I
wrote that on our wall.
That's fabulous because we don't eat our own dog food.
Yeah, we don't listen to the podcast. We're doing it. So, you know, what the heck?
It was good to hear.
Exactly. Hey, Bruce asked us on Facebook.
Yes.
Can I ask for a little advice? I'm looking for, if there is such a thing, a free download that helps you enlarge photos. User-friendly, I hope.
What a great question, because enlarging photos, anyone that's ever done it has seen that, you know, you can grab the little corner of the picture or whatever, make it bigger, whatever program you're in. And then it looks like... what happened?
Oh, I see. When he first posted the question, I didn't get what he was trying to do.
He was trying to enlarge a photo.
A photo that he found on a website, something
whatever,
that,
yeah.
Whatever it is.
So like most of the things you get from the web is designed very low resolution for the web. If you try to print it, especially if you enlarge it like for a document or something and try to print it, it's going to look really, really bad.
It winds up looking like a cow's rear end.
Okay.
Pixelated.
I'm trying to figure out where grain and cow's rear end work. But
well, grain, cowhide.
I was going to say like a old piece of wood.
Ugly. Anyway, so...
Irregardless, which is sometimes a word, sometimes a not.
So what's the name of the app?
Smilly Enlarger. I can't even pronounce it. Guy's name is Smilly, I think.
And he made it. He made this app.
It's an open source app, which means it's free. It's like some independent developer, not a real software company, not somebody that's going to do a bunch of spit, polish, and shine.
It's a dude in a basement.
Exactly. In his mom's basement.
Yes.
That had the time to be able to put this together. And it's basically using technology that will take and fill in areas that normally get depleted of pixels. It fills them in so that as you're enlarging them, you're not completely destroying the picture.
So instead of having a blotchy picture that has all these like weird blocks and squares on it, it actually figures out what needs to go there to make it look pretty good.
Yeah. It's not going to be perfect. It's not professional. But he was asking for free, and he was asking for something effective. And I think the Data Doctors have once again delivered. Ding, ding, ding.
Thank you very
much. Bada bing. Winner, winner.
Chicken dinner.
Turkey leg dinner.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like the chicken.
Hey, I don't know if you heard, this week the ATF is cracking down on BlackBerries.
I would.
Actually, they're getting rid of them.
About time.
Another government agency is putting a dagger in them. BlackBerries slowly dying. You can hear the heartbeat. Yes, what is that, Ken?
Hello, ATF. The 90s called. They want their phone back.
Check out the full story, datadoctors.com/radio.
So Facebook timeline.
Yes.
The biggest aberration to Facebook for millions of people that haven't taken the time to actually look to see what it is.
It's the best thing they've ever done.
Or that heard everyone else complaining about it and said, well, if they don't like it, I'm not even going to look at it. I know I don't like it because my friends don't like it. First of all, those of you still saying that with Facebook timeline, just get over yourselves.
Yeah, move on and do it.
Well, and get it, use it, and you'll love it. Anyway, we were saying when we saw Facebook timeline, that's great, but we want this for the Data Doctors fan page.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, if you could sit in some of our meetings, man, we were sitting there just for weeks. Oh, man, this would be great. Imagine being able to go back in time and find a specific post and how much easier.
Well, I mean, that's we post a lot of great information, if I may say so myself, on our Facebook page. And a lot of times people are going, well, I remember you talked about this, but where was it? And there's no easy way. Now, Facebook, if you're listening, cool. With the we love timeline. We love timeline for business pages.
Yes.
Please, please create a search engine specific to a page so that when people come to our Facebook page and they want to find information we posted 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, they don't have to know that it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, and they can search for just the information on my page.
I don't know why they haven't done that. Everybody else has a search.
Well, I don't know that they're looking at Facebook pages that way yet. And at the end of the day, they make their money through advertisers, and they're trying to figure out, well, how's that work?
So the question to you, Mr. Business Owner, not you, Ken Colbert.
No, I'm not
but
a business owner.
But business owners who listen to our show.
Yes.
Is your business, which is on Facebook, ready for timeline? What does that mean to you? What does timeline for a business mean? Well, obviously, you've got to look at the way your page looks right now for the people who come to your page. So,
well, how about having that enormous picture to explain to people what you do?
Right. What your brand is about.
Right. Or a widescreen shot of your store, if you're a retail store. A shot of all your smiling staff with baked goods in their hands, if that's what you do. You have this enormous canvas now to tell the world what your business does. Now, there is a downside to this.
Yes. What's the downside?
Those awesome welcome pages and tabs that everybody's been building these crazy sites for. That all goes away.
But I don't think that that's a bad thing because...
It's change.
It's change, and I get that it's change, but when you come to the page in timeline, it adds a whole new dimension.
Long-term, I think it's better. The only people really going to be squealing about the whole tabs and welcome pages are those companies that basically built a business around creating that for their customers.
Yeah.
And it's like...
They're sitting right now going, uh-oh.
Yeah, they're going, we can't sell any more of these buggy whips.
I know. They'll now create a business model that helps people build their brand page in timeline.
Well, you know what? Last week we talked about the timeline cover photo templates and processes, right? So, if you are a Photoshop person and you have a business page, that template we put on last week's show, and you can go back and look on our radio show page, you'll see last week's show. I think it's the last link in last week's show.
Yeah, I believe it was.
If you have Photoshop, go get this template. It's going to make it so easy for you to create a really amazing Facebook photo or timeline photo or cover photo For your business.
And put some thought into this. Just don't do it. I mean, you know, Ken and I started talking about this a while back. What is that photo going to be? How is that going to sell the brand that we are?
Or explain what the heck's going on.
Correct.
Here. Yeah.
So put some thought into it.
That's a good idea. Hey, on the other side of the break, there's an app for that. You've heard the expression over and over again. Now there's one for your business, that where there's one that your business shouldn't ignore, just like Timeline. Rented lips.
Plus, milk and cookies. What's in your computer?
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Facial recognition is starting to pop up everywhere. Is it creepy or cool? You decide. Check out the video of a billboard that knows who you are before it sends you the ad. DataDoctors.com/radio.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program. Help. I need somebody. Help. Not just anybody.
Help. You know I need someone. Help. By the way, before we go on.
Yes.
I think that's a new segment for the show.
What's the new segment?
Creepy or cool?
Creepy.
And then we'll put a picture of you up, and then a picture of me up, and a picture of Brandon up. And
why the hate?
No, we'll let the fans decide, since you're the creepy guy in all our videos.
Even with Brandon out,
yes,
the hate continues.
It's a double up thing.
The rest of the show is yours, Colburn.
All right, thanks. It is that time that we address a request for help from one of our listeners / readers / visitors / Facebook fans.
People. Who like us.
This week's help file says, I attended your Twitter for Business 101 workshop, and you mentioned that there are tools that help you understand the best time to post tweets. What are they and how do they work?
And by the way, I want to go off the cuff
here. The other one?
Yeah. These Twitter workshops
that
you do and these Facebook workshops, fantastic, valuable tools. There's one coming to a store near you soon.
Maybe.
Location near you.
Well, it depends. As it gets warmer here, I'll be migrating to the cooler regions in which Data Doctors provide service.
We need to set up a special Alaska cruise.
Well, let's talk about Twitter, especially for business.
Fire away.
Tweeting at the right time is a very important thing. So if you're tweeting in the middle of the night when nobody's actually, none of the people you're connected with are actually looking at their Twitter accounts, the likelihood of them seeing your stuff is
zero to none.
Yeah. So there's a lot of companies out there that are focusing in on helping you understand the best time that you should tweet based on the people that are following you. So they can look at the activity from the folks that are following you to figure out when they're most active, and so that's the best time for you to be tweeting.
So basically,
but simple algorithms.
Right. What this software does is you give it permission to look at your Twitter account, or you know, you have to say, yes, I can see this.
Yes.
And it will look at every post you make. It will look at all of the people that you're connected to, and it will look at the average best times according to your history and according to who follows you Twitter.
Yeah, there's different sites that use different algorithms.
It's pretty smart.
Some of them actually go in deep to your biggest the folks that have the biggest following themselves. So that's your second level generation, right? And when are they the most active? Forget about you're missing those people.
Right.
Because you're tweeting at the wrong time. So, I mean, there's different sites that do this in different ways, and they don't really explain what the algorithms are, but for the most part, they're looking at these. A couple of them are When to Tweet. This is whendotweet.com. There's a Tweet Stats. There's a very interesting set of tools there. And then there's Twiriad.
That just name sounds wrong. Yes. Twiriad.
Yes.
Sovereign fuckatash.
Yes, it is. I thought of Woody Tat.
Thank you.
But the one that I ran across as I was researching this and looking at different tools that I absolutely think is the cat's meow for new users. You hardcore social media folks, just turn off the radio. Don't even listen, because I'm talking to the folks that are struggling to figure out how to actually manage this. I don't have the time to do this. There's this really awesome tool called Timely, T-I-M-E-L-Y. It's timely.is is the actual website. So I was just looking at, okay, well, when's the best time to tweet? And then I'll manually remember to tweet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Timely looks at my Twitter account, looks at the various folks involved, and says, well, here are the best times, which that's pretty cool, right, by itself. But it goes much further. It says, if you want to sign up for a Timely account, we have this cool little process where you put a little bookmark on your browser so that as you're just going along during the day and you see something, you're thinking, this would be something that that my followers might be interested in. I'm going to tweet about this. You know, in my world, I primarily tweet about technology.
Wine.
But I also love wine. I love travel. I love golf.
Food.
Right? Food. So, I mean, anything I run across.
Ooh, sunsets.
Sunsets and sunrises. Something you probably haven't seen much of. I know. Ba-doom, ba-boom, ba-boom, boom,
boom. The hate continues. Yeah. Send all your email to...
Anyway, since it knows the best time, you literally cue these things up that you run across. So now, you don't have to set aside special time to start tweeting. You literally just, as you trip across content that you think would be interesting, you hit a button in your browser and it says, would you like to cue this? And you say yes, and it's awesome.
So the nice thing about this is most of the apps that are out there, you have to work around the way they work. This actually works around the way you work because you don't have to put thought into when am I going to post this? Or, oh gosh, I got to stop what I'm doing right this minute because now is an ideal time. It just kind of is there as a background process.
Yeah, and it just cues everything up for you and posts it at the proper time. It also has the ability to post to Facebook. So now you can decide if that same information is relevant for both Facebook and Twitter. The only downside to using Timely and any other third party to post to a business page with Facebook is the quote-unquote API, the application programming interface that's used to work with the Facebook system, does not support that share button. So like if you use Timely to post something on Facebook, you won't see the ability to share that content, which is a real problem.
Yeah, and people comment.
It's not Timely's problem. This is Facebook's API, and we're actually trying to monitor that situation. So you might want to be careful about when and how you use Timely for Facebook, but for Twitter, it's fantastic. Testicle. Excuse me, did I just...
You did not. Nobody heard that. That was a glitch in their radio. All right. Everything we talk about is at datadoctors.com/radio, including the fact, that's right, it's no longer a rumor, that the Apple iPad event happens March 7th. Sell your old iPad now. They are obsolete.
No.
Obsolete. They're gone.
Gone?
Forever. Hey, when we come back, a smartphone for senior citizens? Hey, can you hear me now?
And why, even when your pantry is empty, your computer still has all its cookies?
This is the Data Doctors radio program. Oh, also, Ken, you know what?
Hi.
We got to get back to browsers. We haven't talked about what the best browser is yet.
And how to browse incognito.
We'll do that in the last segment of the show.
Coming up.
The tax man cometh, and lots of us fire up the PC to start punching in the numbers. Stop!
Yes, before you start putting all that personal information, your social security number, your address, all that good stuff on there, your bank's routing information, you need to make sure that your computer's not infected.
Tax time is like Christmas for hackers. Your infected PC could give them everything they need to steal your identity and your dough.
Here's the deal. If your computer is taking forever to start up, takes forever to shut down, is slow as molasses, these are all indications that something is in there that shouldn't be. And you want to make sure it's not malicious software that can figure out what you're doing when you're doing your taxes.
That's why Data Doctors does a free tax time PC checkup. In just a couple of minutes, we'll be able to determine if your computer needs special medical attention, and then we'll get it healthy again.
Don't even think about doing your taxes on your PC until you've had your computer checked by Data Doctors.
DataDoctors.com. Click the Find a Location button for the store nearest you. Hey, you want to know the secret behind Nokia's 4141 megapixel camera phone? So do we. Check it out for yourself, datadoctors.com/radio.
Tech knowledge for your technology. Data
Doctors radio program. And remember, facebook.com/datadoctors, your open invitation to ask any tech question you ever would ever come across, anytime you want. Any day of the week, any hour of the day, it doesn't matter. The Data Doctors, as a group, are kind of monitoring that to see what's happening.
Except we do sleep. Richard posted this one while somebody was snoring away. He wants to know if his Mac stores cookies And how does he remove them? Well, first of all, let me start with, yes, Richard, they do store cookies, but only the elite cookies.
Oh, you mean those really, the ones where you hold your finger
and
your
pinky out when you're eating? Snobby cookies.
Yes.
Yes.
Chocolate on them.
All web browsers store cookies, unless you have cookie storage turned off, which makes web browsing kind of suck.
It can. It can. Well, cookies are, think of cookies as the same thing as the, you know, the little loyalty card for your grocery store. The cookie is like a bunch of random numbers that they know in their database who that is. But if somebody gets the cookie or somebody finds your keychain and it's got that, they won't know necessarily who you are, what you've done.
Right.
So the cookie in and of itself is not anything to be that concerned about. It's who's putting the cookie on there and if they're sharing that information with others. And that's where the whole toss your cookies syndrome
right.
kind of comes in.
A lot of companies use cookies for remarketing. And yes. So that is, you go to a website, and let's say you're searching for, you have some knee pain or something. You go to a website, you're Google searching something to try to figure out what's wrong with your knee.
Then you go to that site.
You go to that site, and now...
Everywhere you go.
You're seeing stuff for glucosamine with chondroitin.
With that same company's ad.
Right.
Everywhere. You go to CNN, it's there. You go to...
Right. It's not because they're watching you. It's because there's a cookie embedded in your browser that's saying, he or she wants this information, and we're going to spoon feed it to them.
That's how the internet is working. And by the way, folks, that's how all that free stuff you use every day is paid for. So you're going to have to come to some reality check here that if you want things to continue to be free, you got to understand that this is how it gets paid for. If you're willing to pay, which nobody, if you look at, very few companies have had any luck with paywalls.
Yeah.
Right? Where you pay for content and now you don't have to deal with this. If you're ready for that, go support those handful of companies that are doing that.
Right.
But, the reality is we all want it for free. And that's the exchange. And you just need to come to terms with that. That's where we are. 1984, we're way past that.
Yeah. George Orwell sat up in his grave. Didn't even roll over.
Yeah. He's jumping up and down going, no, don't you see what's happening?
He's like... Get me out of here. Get me out of here.
Hey, if you've got older folks in your domicile or
like
in your care, yes. And you
no,
want to
I'm saying
sure
like you.
Yeah, like I do.
No, you're an old folk.
I am an old folk, yes. And I also have old folk that we take care of. Having a cell phone that they can actually use might be important.
Yeah.
And so Nokia thinks, we're gonna see if we can't fill that void. So if you're in that situation, we got a link to something that was just introduced at the Wireless Congress event. In Spain or wherever it was. And if you're looking for that, there you go.
It's an Android for old people. It's got big buttons, very easy to read,
it's
good display.
Yeah.
And it's not a knock on old people. It's just that old people need bigger buttons and easier to read stuff.
Eh?
Huh?
Eh?
Hey, speaking of cookies and browsers,
yes.
Going back to Richard's question,
uh-huh.
A lot of people are wondering, which browser should I use? What's the best browser for me? Why are there so many browsers?
Okay, let me go backwards, right? Let's start with the browsers that I would strongly recommend you stop using.
Okay.
Safari,
mm-hmm.
Internet Explorer. The default browsers for the Mac and the Windows platform are the most problematic,
mm-hmm.
most targeted, and Safari has almost nothing to protect you, and Internet Explorer has gone completely overboard so that half the internet's broken when you try to use it. I like both Firefox and Chrome, and I've been using Chrome as my primary browser for quite some time. It's got some really interesting technology built in that you wouldn't really recognize as a user. Something called sandboxing, where it actually can separate the different sessions that you have automatically so that some of the exploits that are out there that do what they call a cross-browser exploit. It kind of protects you
against
that.
You just totally lost half of the people listening.
That's why I said you won't understand it.
Their eyes glazed over.
They're protecting you from
bad stuff.
From bad stuff happening because you had two different websites open.
Got
it. That's what sandboxing can help you do. The other thing is this whole issue of Google privacy and all, everybody's screaming about this. Built into Chrome, if you click on that little wrench icon up in the upper right corner.
I'm going to do that right now.
Click on that. You'll notice two or three down it says, launch a new incognito window or incognito mode.
And he looks like a spy with a hat on.
Anytime you launch an incognito window with Google Chrome, it basically makes it so that all the tracking, all the cookies, all that stuff, none of that stays. It's just a temporary, it's almost like a virtual session that you have out there. And so the web history, none of that gets tracked.
So if you're Google searching for, let's say, a divorce attorney, and you don't want your spouse to know,
correct,
you would use an incognito window. Not that I'm doing that, by the way.
That's a great analogy.
That's something you would look for. Or if you're trying to find out, plan a secret getaway for you and your family.
That's a little more gooder.
Yeah, that's much gooder.
Yeah, yeah. I don't. That's not so.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to be. Negative. I wasn't going down a dark path. I just, I was thinking about stuff that popped into my head.
You might want to go see a doctor Friday.
No, we're fine. Okay. Nothing is wrong. But anyway.
Allison, are you listening?
God, I'm screwed.
Anyway, if you have not looked at Google Chrome as a browser,
yeah,
you've heard us say it over and over again, you should have multiple browsers on your computer. Mac and Windows. You Mac people, this notion that you don't have to worry about stuff. I mean, if you're paying attention, you're seeing it more and more. The DNS changer didn't matter.
Didn't matter.
It goes after your browser. The browser is the attack point for most malware out there. You got to have high-quality protective stuff, and that Safari ain't doing anything to protect you.
And my final note on all of these browsers, whether it's Chrome, Firefox, whatever, you can overload these things with plugins, with add-ons, with things that make it slow and perform horribly.
Yes.
You can do that with any browser. So you can use them, but don't abuse them.
Well, the other thing is tabbed browsing is awesome, but if you open too many tabs, you can really bog your machine down as well. So be careful with that.
Hey, did you tune in right in the middle of the program today? Don't worry. You can download the podcast right on iTunes.
Of course. And there's lots of stuff we didn't get to, but you can always check it out at datadoctors.com/radio. That's where we have all the links for everything we talk about every week.
And remember, if you get stuck with your technology, your hard drive starts clicking, you spill some coffee on your laptop in the morning, we're here to help. We're just a click away, datadoctors.com. Type in your zip code, find the store nearest you, and we can help you.
And it's the Data Doctors, Ken and Ken, Ken and Spanky, reminding you that if it ain't broke, you shouldn't be fixing it till it is.
Well, yeah.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly.
Leave it alone. Join us on Facebook, won't you?
Time to reboot. We'll catch you next week.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.